end of it has a kind of a little different punchline to it. It's something that's very interesting, and I'll be honest with you, and I want to say this from the start. I'm speculating, and I know I'm speculating. Now, there's some things that I don't consider speculation that I present, because quite frankly, I've got so much evidence, I'm sure of it. But this is speculation, and the first part isn't speculation, because Daniel interpreted it. We're going to take a look at Daniel 7, 3 through 8, and the little horn. Because there were three nations, and I kept getting two of them, but I couldn't figure how on earth the third one would ever come into play. And now I think it has. Daniel 7, 3 through 8. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Now Daniel is giving this prophecy in about 600 B.C., and so you're going to see some amazing things here, which you're already aware of and have heard before, of the different empires that followed this prophecy exactly like Daniel indicated. He was writing at the time of the first empire, which was Nebuchadnezzar's empire, Daniel 7 and 4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. The man was Nebuchadnezzar, and it was the great empire of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, in which Daniel was writing this in captivity, which had carried the nation of Israel in the first stages, beginning in about 587 B.C. But then Daniel begins to talk about some empires that are yet to come. He indicates that the Babylonian Empire will be overcome, taken over, by another empire represented by another beast. Daniel 7 and 5. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. This bear was the Medo-Persian Empire. Starting off with the Medes and the Persians, later on the Medes became a very insignificant part of it, and it was primarily the Persian Empire, and the three ribs in the mouth of it were something that happened that Daniel prophesied in advance. There was a triple alliance formed against the Medo-Persian Empire, and it was crushed. Then he indicated that that would be overcome by another empire. Verse 6, After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. He indicated another empire would arise, and of course this is the Macedonian Empire, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great, which successfully overcame millions and millions of men who were under Darius the Persian and overran that empire, and it was like a leopard. Alexander the Great was the greatest military tactician up to his time, and perhaps of all time, because his army was small, but it was very quick, like a leopard, and moved very rapidly. It had four wings, and it had four heads. Later on, it was to split into four different empires, the Ptolemaic, the Seleucid, Thrace, and the Macedonian sections. And four of his generals took over each one of these sections. So Daniel accurately predicted some things that only God could have known, and he predicted them with such tremendous accuracy that this is one of the reasons that some people say the book of Daniel is not inspired, that it was written after the fact, because no one could have been this accurate in their detail. And yet we know by the actual evidence of archaeology that, sure enough, it was written long before it happened. Now, the last beast is a dreadful beast. It wasn't like any of the rest. And of course, verse 7 is the Roman Empire. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. This wasn't likened to a bear or a lion or to any other type of animal, a leopard, a snake. This was likened to a terrifying beast, the like of which John had never seen before. And indeed, the Roman Empire was the most terrible and cruel of all the empires, at least in its initial subjection of the countries that it overran. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. They used the weaponries that they made with iron and different types of military formations, and they were so strong that nobody could break a Roman formation. It had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beast that were before it, it had 10 horns. Now, there is absolutely no question in my mind. Could I be wrong? Sure, but I doubt it. Man, I'm certain of this. And I'm certain because until Hal Lindsey wrote his book, virtually all theologians brought the Antichrist, made these 10 horns, I should say, Arab nations. And indeed, they brought them out of the revived Roman Empire. But when Hal Lindsey came along, he broke tradition on this. He broke the teachings. He picked up six nations in Europe, and in the fancy of his own mind, he suddenly decided that he was going to bring the Antichrist out of Europe. And that when these 10 nations, these six nations at the time became 10 horns or 10 toes of Daniel's statue, or the 10 horns in Daniel's prophecies, that when it reached 10, the Antichrist would show up and the tribulation period would begin. Well, pretty soon he had 10. It took a while. But then he had 12. Then he had 14. Then he had 16. And soon there will be 18 horns. Now, John Hagee is on television at the present time assuring everybody that some of these horns are going to drop off. And so is Jack Van Impe, and Hal Lindsey's doing the same thing. These guys are making megabucks, and they are following a dead horse because the Antichrist is not going to come out of Europe. But Hal Lindsey has attained such tremendous popularity, as well as Jack Van Impe, as well as John Hagee, that people automatically assume that they know what they're talking about, and someone like myself, who has the audacity to believe in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is the closed ordinance of the church, and the church was local and visible, couldn't possibly know what he's talking about. It amazes me, missionary Baptists do. I know missionary Baptists that are avid followers of Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impe, John Hagee, and all the rest. I have difficulty in understanding that, because they are completely off on the subjects that we hold most dear to our heart. And yet people say they know what they're talking about, but I don't. Now, I admit they could, but to me it's just an absolute impossibility. Well, this morning what I want to talk about was this. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, I want to warn you about something. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, that little horn is the Antichrist, our Antichrist that's going to arise probably in our day. But the eighth chapter of Daniel is not the Antichrist. A lot of preachers have made the eighth chapter of Daniel Antichrist figure and applied him to this day and time. In the eighth chapter of Daniel, Daniel prophesied a king that was to come, but that king has already come. The little horn in the eighth chapter of Daniel is Antiochus Epiphanes, who has already come and already gone. And so don't try to make your eighth chapter, little horn, the same as this seventh chapter. The seventh chapter is the Antichrist. Now, here is why I'm doing this morning and why I ran around like a scalded dog this morning. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the reeds. You've never heard me talk about that. I've been here 23 years. Have you ever heard me talk about those anime? I never talked about it. Never mentioned them, skipped over them. Why? I could not figure for the life of me which three nations were going to be plucked up by the Antichrist. And I would look and I would try to figure, and I got two of them pretty good, but the other I didn't know. So for 23 years I have never taught on this subject, and I've never done it in the lectures anywhere. Shirley's been here. She was here when they planted the building. Shirley's never heard me teach on this. I've never talked about it. Well, I'm going to talk about it this morning, and I'm going to tell you this is speculation. But there's one way you can tell whether I'm right or not, by watching what happens in the Mideast. And if you see this start to happen, there's a good chance I'm right. I don't have the forwardness and the boldness on this that I do on a lot of things. But something happened beginning about the time of the Operation Desert Storm, and I caught it, and I said, I wonder if this is going to happen. I think we're headed down the road, so I waited for a long time because I don't like to get caught with egg on my face. I don't like to be wrong, because when I'm wrong, my carnal man doesn't like it. And secondly, my spiritual man doesn't like it because people don't listen to what else I have to say. So I'm going to speculate, And I'm going to tell you it's speculation. And please consider it speculation. And don't gang up on me if it doesn't work this way. What's happened to Iraq is very interesting. I've been checking the military statistics on Iraq. I've still got one contact left in Washington. And I've been checking on the military statistics on Iraq since the Persian Gulf War, right at the present time. Iraq's military capacity is way, 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 way down. They have less than half of the number of troops that they had when the Gulf War started. All of their military arsenal has been cut by more than half. They are not in good military shape. Syria, on the other hand, has been increasing in military intensity and power and the number of troops they're training. They've been increasing in their military hardware like you would not believe, and I've been watching them like a hawk. And they have already virtually taken over Lebanon. They've got 40,000 Syrian troops in Lebanon. Is Lebanon still a country, an independent country of its own? Yes. On paper, Lebanon still exists as a full-fledged country. But for all practical purposes, Syria has already taken over Lebanon, and that's not opinion, that's a fact. I believe Syria is going to have a new leader arise. I wish I could tell you when. I don't know. But I think that Assad is going to either die a natural death, be deposed, or be assassinated. I cannot tell you when, but I believe that he will. Watch whoever succeeds him. Now, there may be some bloody infighting at first, and the first man chosen to succeed him may not be the Antichrist. But when a man rises to power and he attacks Iraq, that man is the Antichrist. You say, well, now you've got Lebanon and you've got Iraq. Well, I've been watching them for a long time, but I was curious, what can the third nation be? Recently, Saddam Hussein was asked to go into the Kurdish state to the north. We are establishing a country in the north of Iraq right now where we have sheltered the Kurds. Lebanon, the Kurdish state, and Iraq all border on Syria. I believe that it may not be Saddam Hussein. I mean, it may not be Assad. It may not be Hafez Assad. It may not be the current leader of Syria that does it. He could. But I really think that there's going to be a military man. He may be under Assad and attacked Iraq. Or Assad may be replaced and he rises. But when Syria attacks Iraq, that's going to be the key to let me know that I'm on the right track. And the three nations that are going to be overcome by the little horn are Lebanon, Iraq, and the Kurdish state that's formed to the north. They're all three bordering on Syria. If that happens, you can bet your biffy that whoever does the conquering out of Syria is the Antichrist. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Is Saudi Arabia happy with the U.S. president's presence over there? No. Is Egypt happy with it? No. Is Kuwait happy with it? Not really. You say, well, why do they put up with it? Because they don't want Saddam Hussein to go wild. They all hate Saddam Hussein. Everybody does. But what don't they like about the situation? We're over there. How would you like to have a bunch of foreigners over here in this country? They hate it. If I'm right, and Assad, or his successor, does go down, he's going to be the darling of the Mideast, because an Arab will have put down Saddam Hussein, and an Arab leader will rise to prominence, somebody that's of themselves. And President Clinton will love every moment of it. And this country will love every moment of it, because we all hate Saddam Hussein. And we would love to see that region stabilized. And we would love not to have to send our troops over there. So watch that area. Because I guarantee you it would please this country greatly if Assyria were to go down and take over all of Iraq. And Lebanon is nothing. They've already practically taken it over. And the Kurdish state is becoming a nightmare. Look at the latest situation. The guy that asked Saddam to come in, and Saddam helped him, and he overthrew the government that was there. Now he's asking us to come in and help him in his country. So if the Syrians overrun the Kurdish state, I hate the Kurds, the Iraqis, and they can do it now because Saddam's military strength is way down. And they've already taken over Lebanon. Those are the three horns, the three countries that are plucked up by the Antichrist. I think these things are formulating right now, and I think they're getting close. Now, these are the great empires, the four great beasts. Daniel 7:2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens stowed upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. You look at the Babylonian line with two wings, the empire of Nebuchadnezzar. You looked at the great Medo-Persian Empire, the bear, three ribs in his mouth, which was a triple alliance of three smaller countries that was formed against this empire, and this empire crushed those three countries. You looked at the actual leopard that pictured the Macedonian or Grecian kingdom, Alexander the Great. The four wings, it moved rapidly. The leopard is a very quick, agile animal, and the Grecian Empire was the most rapidly moving army that ever faced on this earth. You see the four heads, the four wings, representing the four divisions that would occur. The Antichrist, before Al Lindsey wrote his book, was consistently taught by the larger percentage of all preachers to have come out of the old Seleucid Empire, which today is what we call Syria. And this last beast doesn't look like anything we've ever seen. You see the ten horns on it. You see the Antichrist with the face of a man coming up as the 11th horn. Scripture teaches he will subdue three of the ten horns. Those three horns, I believe, are Lebanon, the Kurdish state, and Iraq itself. But again, that's speculation on my part, and I admit it, and I could be dead wrong. When John wrote about this, John, many hundreds of years after Daniel wrote, in Revelation 13, 1 and 2, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now he's talking about this beast that he sees. And this beast is the Roman Empire. And out of that will come the final empire, out of the revived sections of those nations that once made it up. And I believe they're 10 Arab nations. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. I've already told you what I believe that name of blasphemy is, the crowns and the horns and everything else in previous lectures. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Now remember, Daniel was going forward in prophecy. He was going to tell you the way the empires came in order after he wrote of them. But John is going backward. And so John is in the Roman Empire, writing in 95-96 A.D. That's why he doesn't mention the great diverse beast, except the empire itself that's going to arise will come out of that one. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. That goes back and picks up the Grecian Empire, the Macedonian Empire. Then he goes back, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. He goes back and picks up the Medo-Persian Empire. Then he goes all the way back to the time that Daniel was writing, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. That's the Babylonian Empire. And the dragon, the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this is John's beast. But quite frankly, he simply takes what was in the Roman Empire, brings it forward into the last days, and paints you a picture of the last 10 horns that are going to arise, and the Antichrist will be the 11th horn among them. Now, I have talked to you about Syria and Lebanon for a long time. So you see on the chart, here's Syria. Well, for all practical purposes, they've already taken over Lebanon. Not officially, but they have. I want you to notice the huge amount of border between Syria and Iraq. The Syrians have been running all kind of exercises down through here lately. It's shaking up the Israelis. But it may not be to conquer Israel. It may be in preparation eventually for an attack on Iraq. I don't think this is going to happen right away. I think this is something that is several years on down the road. You can tell some things that are likely to happen in prophecy. But the problem is the timing. Like the Berlin Wall coming down, that was so quick and so unexpected and so sudden. Syria may attack them tomorrow, but I don't really expect them to attack Iraq for several years. Right up here is where the Kurdish state is. Right here is where the Kurdish state is located. Notice it borders on Syria. So I am really very confident that the three nations, the three horns, will be the Kurdish nation, the nation of Iraq, and the actual country of Lebanon. Daniel 7. Now, this is the little horn. Daniel 7 and 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. This is the Antichrist, and he is going to take three of those nations and subdue them, and they're going to become subservient to him. Now let's take a look at the end of this chapter in Daniel 7:21, where he's interpreting this particular prophecy that you saw in Daniel 7:3-8. Daniel 7:21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, this is not talking about modern-day Christians, modern-day born-again believers in this country. This is talking about, in Daniel's time, when he uses the expression, the saints, he is referring to the believing Jews at that time. And so when he says, and I beheld, and the same horn, the little horn, made war with the saints, he's talking about Israel. Now, to some people that may be opinion, but it's not. That is exactly what that means. He made war with the Jewish saints and prevailed against them. And we've covered all that in the Antichrist according to Micah, according to Ezekiel, according to Daniel, according to all the prophets, is going to overcome Israel. He's going to overcome them to the extent that he's going to prevail against them and drive them into the Negev wilderness. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That kingdom is the millennial kingdom itself. And so what he's referring to there is the time when the Lord returns at the end of the tribulation period, ends the Antichrist reign, and establishes Israel as the predominant nation on this earth for 1,000 years. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Now, I've made my case before, for those of you who haven't been here all that long, and I've gone through the Bible, and I've shown you every time that expression, the whole earth or the whole world, is used. And I have made a case to prove to you that it doesn't mean the whole earth as we know it today, but the whole earth as Daniel knew it in that day. I don't believe the Antichrist is going to dominate Antarctica, New Zealand, Australia, the United States. I don't believe he's going to take us and control us, and we're going to be a part of his vast empire. That's what Jack Van Impe teaches. That's what Hal Lindsey teaches. That's what John Hagen teaches. And I totally and absolutely disagree with it. I believe they're dead wrong. He's going to dominate the world as it was known at the time that Daniel wrote these prophecies in about 600 B.C. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. I believe those 3 kings are the kings of Iraq, Lebanon, and the Kurdish state. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Again, this is talking about Israel. And the saints of the Most High that are referred to here are the nation of Israel. And he is flat going to wear them out. He's going to take over the nation of Israel with the exception of the Negev wilderness. He'll try to think to change times and laws, the whole Jewish culture. And they shall be given into his hand. In other words, they will be under his control. I don't mean that he'll have them all in prison camps, but they're going to be dominated by him because he's going to be completely surrounding them. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, that's 1 year, time, 2 years, and the dividing of time, half a year, 1 plus 2 plus a half, that's 3.5 years, 42 months, 3.5 years, however you want to look at it, well, 1,260 days. But the judgment shall set, and they, who? The saints of the Most High, verse 26, shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And then we begin to talk about the Lord's millennial kingdom. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the people under the whole heaven. Now, when we get to whole heaven, I think that refers to the whole earth as we know it today. Everything that was under the heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. In other words, Israel will be the predominant nation throughout the millennial reign of Christ to the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Those out of it will continue right on into the heaven age, and all dominions, all Gentiles, all over the earth for 1,000 years shall serve and obey him. So I've been watching that for a long, long time, and I was very hesitant to say anything until I got the third country reasonably figured out. The establishment of that Kurdish state helped a lot, because when that came into existence, I finally had the third country after the Persian Gulf War that I thought Syria stood a good chance of overcoming. So here's what I'm showing this to you for. Watch that area. Watch Syria. And look at the things that Syria is doing. And watch for strife within Syria. This new leader, I don't think Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist. I don't mean Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein's not the Antichrist. Neither is Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. Nor do I think Hafez Assad of Syria is. But I really expect a successor to Assad to stand an excellent chance of being the Antichrist. But let's watch that area and see what happens. And that's the first bell, so we'll...